Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
But I feel really privileged to be up here, and I don't take it lightly as anyone who comes up here do. And just part of that is just honouring what Phil and Michael do and the example that they set. I know that they don't take it lightly by coming up here, and I think sometimes we take for granted when we get to hear these guys week in, week out, we take for granted the quality and of who they are and the honourable men that they are. So just want to honour them and thank them for the opportunity and privilege to be able to do this as well. So didn't see that one coming, did you? I'm here to talk about hope, if you didn't guess. And hope is something that we, in some way, shape or form have, whether it's hoping for that next relationship is going to be better than the one that you just left, or hoping that the present under the Christmas tree is the one you've been hoping for throughout the whole year, or that the next time you make that dish, it's going to turn out better than you did just now. So, but at the same time, in preparing for this, I've got notes and things here, but at the same time, I'm prepared for the Holy Spirit to do what He wants tonight and to take things where He wants to go. I just kind of needed to ask that question of you guys. Are you prepared for the Holy Spirit to speak into your hearts, regardless of what I say? That you're in this space, ready and willing to receive what He has for you, to be changed and to leave this place different to how you came in, so that you can take His presence with you wherever you go. That bit's for free. So before we kind of start, I'd love to pray and just ask for God to lead us tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank You that we have this amazing privilege to come together and worship You and to honour You and give glory to Your name. Father, that in this moment we get to open up Your Word and we can do it so freely, Lord God, without any real persecution. And Father, we just give You thanks for that, and we don't take it lightly. And Father, just pray that it will be Your words, Lord God, the things that You want us to receive tonight that take root, Lord God, and bear fruit. Father, the words that are of Me, that they would just fall to the ground, but Lord God, that Your word would remain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I don't know if you know what hope means. I had to kind of have a feeling of it, but the dictionary says that hope is either a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen, or a person or a thing that may help or save someone. And hope can also mean grounds for believing that something good may happen. The Amplified version of the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, explains hope as this, and it says, "And now there remain faith, abiding trust in God and His promises, hope." And it explains hope as this: confident expectation of external salvation. That's our hope. That's the hope that as a Christian we hold on to, a confident expectation of external salvation. But before we go any further, we kind of need, let's take a step back a little bit. A few weeks ago, Phil, in his messages, brought out a passage in Hebrews 11:1, and it says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see." And there's some slight variations of that. Some translations say substances of what we hope for, or the assurance in what we hope for. But the notion is the same. So the question I'm asking you today is, where is your hope? We can choose what or who we put our hope in. And what is the confidence that you have in what you've chosen to hope for and in? And that is what Hebrews 11 states, is that it's the confidence or the substance in what we hope for. And I think the Greek translation of confidence in that is the owner or the title of hope. And the owner of our hope is Jesus Christ. It's important to have a hope that we can have confidence in. You know, it's either hope, we can either have hope in eternity or God and what his promises are and what he's given to us, or we can have hope in temporary things, whether it's relationships, people, promotions at work, the next big win. You know, we've just come out of, we're in the middle of a season from a secular point of view where people are putting their hope in a horse race. That's where their next big win is, because the last time they did it, it didn't work out. So they're hoping that the next one, or the next one, or the next one. And sometimes we find that when we hope in things that are temporary, when we put our hope in things that are material, that have not proven themselves before, we dig ourselves deeper and deeper into a position where we can't get ourselves out of. And sometimes we go into hopelessness. We live in a state at the moment where we're between two gardens. I heard a preacher once say that we're in between two gardens. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, the commandment was for them to leave Eden and to go out of there. They couldn't be in God's presence. They couldn't walk with God anymore because of what they had done. And the promise we have is that we'll be with God again, in his midst, walking with us. And sin changed that. So since Adam and Eve, we're living in hope. Because when we're with God, there's no need for hope anymore. There's nothing to hope for because we're in it, we're living it. And that's what when Adam and Eve did what they did, humanity bore the consequences of that. And we're living in a time where, for whatever reason, wherever we look for, we're looking for something to put our hope and trust in. Romans 8, 22, 26 says the following: "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." In the context of that Romans passage, it talks about life in the Spirit. So those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And when we live in hope, when we live in a hope that is dictated and guided by the Holy Spirit and God, we have something and we have a confidence in that hope because it's already been done. And that's the difference, that when we come into a hope in Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have and the assurance of eternity that we have, it's something that's already been done. We're not guessing. And the other key element about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and what he gives to us is that even though when things might seem not too great in the now, in the moment, or you're in a really bad situation, we can hold on to the future glory. And that's in Romans 8 before, it says in verse 18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Now, looking around today, I'm seeing a lot of fashion that I grew up with when I was growing. So there's teenagers who are wearing stuff today that I was wearing when I was a teenager, and I find it really hard. That's in a lot of ways I kind of go, "Really, you want to wear that?" But at the same time I kind of go, "Man, I must be old if it's coming back in fashion again." Might have to dig out some stuff out of the closet. But in keeping in line with that, I thought I'd do something that I know in the growing up in the 90s that, well, I maybe it's an Anglican tradition. I grew up in the Anglican tradition, and something that we used to do was give acronyms for a lot of stuff or break down things. So I thought I'd bring that back. So I'm looking at hope. So this is how I'm breaking it down. H is hope. O is only. P is pursues, and E is eternity, and brackets with Jesus. So hope for us as those who believe and confess Jesus Christ as our Lord is so hope only pursues eternity. That's our focus. That's our goal. And when we have that as our focus and our goal, it means that we don't get stuck looking at the situation that we're in. It means we can lift our eyes up out of the situation. It means that we can look forward. We can keep moving forward. We can walk. And it means that when our faith is shaken, we can still move forward because of hope. Romans 5:1-5 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And in the same way, Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint." So you hope we can be confident in because of Jesus Christ, because we know who the owner of that hope is. It's not us. It's not someone else. It's not something else. But it's God who gave his one and only Son, who died, was buried, and rose again to fulfill the scriptures and to defeat death. And because of that, we can have a confidence in our hope, that we're putting our hope in someone who will never let us down. And it enables us to stand up, dust ourselves off, and continue to walk in faith. Jeremiah 29:11 passage is probably something that we all know really well. If you've been around church for a while, it's something that's shared. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future." Sometimes we take that a little bit out of context, I think. And I've done a little bit of reading, and one of my lecturers when I was studying, kind of expanded it out a little bit for me. Sometimes we see that and we kind of go, "Oh, great, God's going to take me out of this now." And when it doesn't happen now, we kind of go, "Well, God's not living up to his word." The context of Jeremiah 29:11, and it's Mary, the author that I read was Mary DeMuth. She puts it like this: "Israelites were in exile, a punishment from God as a result of their disobedience. The prophet Jeremiah confronts the false prophet Hananiah, who had boldly proclaimed that God was going to free Israel from Babylon in 2 years. So that's the context of Jeremiah 29:11 before that passage is said. It says, Jeremiah calls out Hananiah's lie and then states the promise, which we read in 29:11. And God does have a plan for the Israelites. And it is a plan that will give them a hope and a prospering future. But it's not how they wanted to see it. They wanted it now. They had to remain in Babylon for 70 years before they would experience that hope and future. And some of them would not experience it at all. And I think sometimes we get caught up in what we can get out of things. How is God going to move for me now that we lose sight of beyond the now? We lose sight of what our eternity is, and we just see the moment that we're in. And that can, whether it's something that's shaken your faith, whether it's something that's affecting your feelings, whether it's something that's made you do things that you would never normally do, because you've lost sight of perspective. You've lost perspective and you've lost sight of where God has called us to. Yes, we're called to do things here and now, but our hope is in what is to come. About 5 years ago, I had my family, well, Elise and I had a moment that shook our faith. And it was something that made me, probably, if I'm being honest, question who God was and question my faith. We have a daughter who is not here with us, and 5 years ago I was going to say lost, and in talking to Elise, and she reminded me, no, she's not lost. We know where she is. And I can still remember the moment where I cried out. I was washing the dishes, wearing pink washing gloves, and it just hit me. And I went, God, is this what it's meant to be? We knew her diagnosis. We knew the possibility of Amari not being around and being stillborn. But we had faith, right? And when you have faith, you walk in faith, you pray in faith, and you trust that there'll be something good out of this. And the medical recommendation at the time was for us to terminate. That was the phone call that Elise got. But, you know, that's not our call. That wasn't our call to make. And we had faith and we trusted and we walked. And we got the news that she wasn't going to make it, and that her heart was failing. And we prayed. We were on our knees praying from that Friday through to the Sunday that God would do something different, that this would be a miracle, that this would be something that, you know, we could stand on and say, see what God did. I think there are moments in our lives where we're in situations and we operate in that faith, hoping that God would come through in the way that we want him to. And in those moments, we lose sight, I think, or I did anyway, in the hope that we have of eternity. That this is, we're called to live here and be Jesus here and now, and to bring his kingdom into the here and now, and to live the best life that he calls us to. But at the same time, we also have eternity. That this is just a snapshot. That this is just a brief moment in time. That you or I are on the earth, and we have moments. 5 years ago, that was a moment for me where I questioned my faith. And the only thing that allowed me to get up and start walking was hope. Because if we lose sight of that hope, we can stay. We don't move forward. We start questioning God. We start wondering about, what's all this time that I've spent believing in this Jesus guy? And there's a danger in that, and it's the place where the enemy would love you to be in. He uses those moments where you've stepped out in faith, where you've prayed in faith, and it doesn't come through the way that you want to start picking away at things. See, hope equips us to keep moving forward when our faith is tested. It's the driving force that propels us to live beyond just existing. The author continued to write, yes, of course, God knows the plans he has for us, and ultimately he will give us a glorious future. But as we walk out our lives on this crazy earth, let's remember that the best growth comes through persevering through trials, not escaping them entirely. And when we learn perseverance, we find surprising joy. Our joy came, I can't remember how long after, but you know, Reuben came not long after. And in the moment of us praying, Elise and I both had God speak. We heard God clearly speak and say, he will be fine. We knew that Amari was a girl, and we thought, that can't be right. When we fell pregnant, again, God had spoken, and we had our hope. The assured hope that he will be fine. We didn't find out that Reuben, who when we didn't find out Reuben's sex, but we knew who he was going to be and what he was going to be, and that he'll be okay. I think those words need to resonate with some of us tonight, regardless of what situation you're going through and what you're in, that you'll be okay. Because we have something that's assured, we have something that's certain, we have something that's definite, and that is our eternity with God, back in the garden with him, walking, being face to face. The Proverbs 13:12 says very clearly that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And like I said, if we keep putting our hope in things that will fail us time and time again, or we don't have a confidence in, because nothing else is as sure as God. He's faithful to his promises. He won't fail us. It might not look like how we want it to look. It might not feel like how we want it to feel, but at the end of the day, when the rubber hits the road, he is there and he will be there. And what he calls us to is something that's definite and sure, and that's eternity with him if we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and accept him as our Lord and Savior. So I feel like when I was preparing for this, I feel like there are some people who've got sick hearts. Maybe you've put your hope in things that haven't come through. You put your trust in things time and time again, and it's failed you, or they've failed you, and you keep going back to it. They continue to fail you. I just felt God say that it's time to put your trust in me. Lift up your eyes and look to me. Look to the eternity that you have. Look to the glory that you have in Christ. I think faith helps our actions, but hope strengthens our perseverance. We started off at Hebrews 11:1, and it's bookended in Hebrews 12:1. And I'm going to wrap up soon. If I can get the band to come back up too, please. And I think there's three different groups of people that this message is talking to. Whether you have hope in something that has no substance at all, something that whether your hope is something that you can't be confident in, or it's a situation that you're hoping for that you have no confidence in, and God has not spoken into it, and you're kind of stepping out on your own, I think God's calling you to trust in him. Maybe you're at a point where you just see no hope at all and you're hopeless. Can I say that it is sometimes the best situation to be in? Because it's when you can hear God the clearest, because you've shut everything else out. You've tried everything else, and it's when God shines. Because when you turn to him, you will see the vast difference that he is compared to the material things and temporary things that we can focus on. And if you're someone who knows that your hope is secure and you're assured of your faith and trust and your eternity in him, then we have a responsibility not to keep it to ourselves. We have a responsibility to share that hope with those around us. Now, I think we're going to have a bit of time for us to reflect. And yeah, if you find yourself in any of those three positions, I encourage you to come up, spend some time with God, come to the front, come at his feet and spend some time with God. Would love to pray with you. See, hope in God is something that we can be confident in. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Tonight, I encourage you to fix your eyes on Jesus, on the hope he gives us. That when things come to shake your faith and to move you from the position of glory that you're in, that you have a hope that you can hold on to, that you have a hope that you can cling to, and that will pull you through, that will enable you to stand up and walk again, that will enable you to run the race that has been marked out before you. Because he lives in us and he does it, and we don't have to do it on our own. So we're going to worship God. We're going to allow him to do what he wants to do. And if you feel led, if you're in one of those positions, please come forward, that we'll be ready to pray for you, with you, and stand with you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.